The drive for health care reform cleared another hurdle on October 13th when the Senate Finance Committee voted 14-9 to pass a reform proposal shaped by Committee Chairman Max Baucus, Democrat of Montana. Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine was the only Republican to vote for the bill. Of the five committees in the House and Senate that have passed health care reform legislation, the Baucus bill is the only measure that does not include a government health insurance option to compete with private for-profit insurance companies. Many health care reform activists have criticized the Baucus bill as a gift to the insurance industry, with little in it to control the rise in premiums. Most bills being considered prevent insurance companies from denying coverage due to pre-existing medical conditions and require nearly all Americans to purchase health insurance, while offering federal subsidies to lower-income citizens and small businesses assistance to pay for coverage. But despite recent opinion polls finding that a strong majority of Americans support a public option, whether or not to include the provision remains the primary focus of debate. The next step in the process will see the House and Senate each merge the various committee reform proposals into one bill, followed by a vote. Then both chambers must hammer out the differences between the two bills, clearing the way for a full congressional vote. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with Eleanor Smeal, president of the Feminist Majority and past president of the National Organization for Women. She assesses the status of the health care reform debate and the discriminatory practices women face in obtaining affordable health insurance coverage under the current system.
Well, I'm hopeful still that we do get a public option, and I think we have to fight for that. The Speaker has pretty much guaranteed it's coming out of the House with a public option, and it has already come out of the Kennedy Committee, which is the Kennedy-Dodd Committee, the Health, Education, Labor, and Pension of the Senate. So a public option now, this is what where we are right this minute, is the Senate has to merge the Dodd Committee bill with the Baucus bill. And hopefully they put the public option in. And if leadership decides they want to do that, they can. And then it would take, according to Schumer, Charles Schumer, it would take 60 votes to take it out. And they don't have the 60 votes to take it out. So, you know, we could be getting it just from that maneuver alone. Or the next stage would be to, when it merges with the House bill, that it would be in it. So we have two chances, and I'm hoping that we get the first one.
Eleanor Smeal, there's been some criticism from the left about the possibility of establishing a public option that's extremely weak and doesn't really help a lot of people. How important is it even for a weak public option to be voted in into law here and President Obama to sign it?
I do think you got to take the whole bill at it. It has some, you know, really milestones. But before I go into that, this public option does establish the precedent of setting up an insurance exchange where there would be private plans, but there also would be public plans. And either the employer, usually a small business employer or nonprofit, or an individual can choose which of the plans they want. And at least if you have a public option in there, the hope would be it would contain costs of the private insurance plans, which are essentially just driving, it's unsustainable. Senator Klobuchar has put it very succinctly by saying 10 years ago, a private insurance plan for four people, a family of four, was $6,000. Today, that same policy is in the neighborhood of $12,000 to $13,000, and 10 years from now, it'll be $24,000. I mean, you just can't keep escalating like this. They're escalating, you know, every year, 7%, 10%, whatever. So the hope is the public option will make this them have to be competitive to contain costs.
Eleanor Smeal, when it comes to women and health insurance in our current private market, what are the special hardships that women face in being able to afford good health care coverage?
A lot. Number one is we're charged more for the same coverage. According to government figures right now, around 48% more for similar, you know, product. So we're charged more, I've seen actually figures higher than that, but significantly more for the same product. The excuse that has been used for eons is, well, it's because of maternity coverage, but studies have been done to show that 79% of these private plans do not include maternity coverage. So that's a lark, too. I mean, essentially, we're charged more, and then maternity is frequently not covered, which is just ludicrous. And so one of the things that this, the new whole insurance package that they're trying to get through, is that it would prohibit sex discrimination in pricing. That's a big deal. We've been trying to get rid of that for several decades. So that's really important. Secondly, it would mandate that they have to include maternity. It cannot be excluded, maternity coverage. And then thirdly, other pre-existing conditions peculiarly affect women. Remember, it eliminates all pre-existing conditions. You can no longer use that as an excuse to deny coverage. And women who are domestic violence victims are denied coverage in 9 states right now, but also it goes state by state, because remember, insurance is essentially state regulated. This is going to essentially establish standards in health insurance. And so, for example, right now in some states they can exclude a second cesarean section delivery, saying that now that's a pre-existing condition because you've had one. Well, anyway, all these things would be eliminated. There's a lot of good things in this. I do believe we must have a public option, but I also think we should know all the things that this is covering, and it is an advantage for people really of all ages. We're in the final days here, and I think we got a chance to make history. I believe actually it's going to pass. I don't know if I'm if I'm just being too optimistic. But I think the public wants it, and I think a majority of both houses want it. Now the question is, can they hold us up on some parliamentary procedure, some filibuster? It's the time to make history. And it wasn't easy when Medicaid and Medicare passed. I was just a kid then, but I can remember how happy my mother was when Medicare passed.
That was Eleanor Smeal, president of the Feminist Majority. Visit the group's website at feminist.org or call them at area code 703-522-2214.